I was sitting and having breakfast this morning. I said, it's raining today. The nice side about it raining is you don't have to go out and water the garden for a half hour. God waters it for you. So there is advantages of rain. And I think we all appreciate it too. So a couple of things I just wanted to mention. As you noticed in the bulletin, well, we mentioned Sam and Bryce working as interns in our church. It's part-time interns, because in the U.S. an intern is one that works full-time. So they're not working full-time because they're both still holding down their jobs, which keep them very busy. And we were looking at our congregation too, and our finances have been up there. And we have some real needs in our congregation, and one of them is our website is very dated. It's now going on almost 25 years old. But we want to have a presence that is more, a website that is more attractive to a younger generation, a generation, and more useful for us that we can use too to put information on there. So Bryce and Sam will be working on our website, as well as Bryce will be here also worship leading more. So he'll be here a couple times a month anyway to worship lead. We're always in need of, we appreciate you guys here to worship leads. And it's a real blessing. I look at our congregation and, you know, we're an older congregation. Even I was talking to our leadership team. We're all old. I don't know if you thought about it. Some of you feel that way too. But most of us are over 65. We have a number of the leadership team over 70 years old. So in essence, we need some young life in our congregation. And we're looking forward to you guys using your gifts and abilities that God has given you to really add to our congregation. So we're excited about that. And I think Sam will be also working some, organizing some activities with our young kids too. So we'll have some of those things going on. So, which will be really good. And that's not going to, I just wanted to mention too, that's not going to happen until the fall and then September, because there's a number of things. They got a busy summer ahead of them and a number of things going on. So I wanted to share that. Also, next week, we're not going to be here, as they said at the beginning. We have a church in the country, and we try to do that once or twice a year where we have the church over, and it'll be a barbecue and get together out on a farm. We are in real need of people that can provide rides. If you have a vehicle and you can pick up a few people, please see Dan Holive today, or even call him, but if you can see him today, because we have a number of people that want to come, but they can't come unless they have a ride. So I'll probably be going out Saturday morning to pick up people too. So we want to make sure everybody who wants to come join us can come join us. So we're looking forward to that. Jerry will be giving, it will be more of an interactive discussion. So it'll be kind of a question and answer discussion, and we'll have worship there too. So we're looking forward to that. As you notice in the bulletin today, you had a little sheet in the bulletin with a bunch of service opportunities. And it's been 4 years. It's been 4 to 5 years since we've done a service schedule as to people where they can, if they want to get involved and serve in this congregation. And serving is critical for us as a believer. You know, God provides, has given all of us gifts so we can serve. And we want to just open that up to whoever would like to serve in areas. So I'll be getting into that and talking a little bit more about that as I get into my message. What are your gifts? Do you know what they are? How has God gifted you? If you could do anything in your local church, what would it be? What do you enjoy doing? What keeps you from using your gifts in the church? We know that church is not a spectator sport. Church is not a place where we come to just sit and watch and be entertained and then go home into our lives. Church is not a country club where we come so other people can serve us. Church is a place we go to serve. Church is a family, and yet many Christians have little more involvement in the family life than rocking up to the family dinner table, eating dinner, and leaving as soon as it's done. Church is more than that. Church is a place we go to use the gifts that God has given us. I'd like to start my message by giving 29 reasons that people give for not serving. And it's interesting because I have used some of them myself, and probably some of you have too. And I'd like to just share these with you. why people say, well, I can't serve. I just can't. One of them is, I'm not a Christian. I'm checking Christianity out, but I'm not really a Christian yet. I'm a member of another church, and I come here for more teaching, to meet other Christians. I'm too busy to serve. I'm too busy with family commitments. We have kids. Anybody that has kids knows that. But yet many of those people still serve. I'm too busy with other things, preparing to get married. I'm married to an unbeliever who just doesn't like it when I go out too much. My husband, wife, is I don't get to spend much time together, so on weeknights, so weekends are precious to us, so that's our time. I don't know what opportunities are available in this church. I don't have enough information about the available opportunities, you know, that are required. I don't know what gifts that God has given me. I don't have the skills required to serve in the available areas. Like, I don't understand PowerPoint, so I can't, you know, help operate the slideshow above. No one has asked me. I come here from another church because I'm burnt out and I just need to be fed. I'm serving in other ways outside of church. I don't want to commit to anything in advance. I like to keep my options open. Any of us heard those before? I live too far away, and it's a struggle to get to church outside of service times. The staff team is paid to serve, so I don't have to do it. I don't know anyone who's serving in the area that I would like to serve in, so I don't want to sign up because I don't know anybody there. I serve the people I know by encouraging them in their faith. I'm generous in other ways with my money. Serving is what young people do. They've got the time and the energy. We just got married and we're concentrating on our marriage for the first year. Everything seems under control, so I'm not really needed. I don't get anything out of it. I've heard that a number of times. I just don't want to. You know, some of you have heard these and they're familiar. Andy Stanley asked the question, are you too busy to serve in your local church? And then he goes on to say, for your information, every Saturday, or they say every Sunday, but every Saturday you attend a local church where you are served by very, very busy people. It's the busy people that often do most of the service. So he says, get involved. On the handout list of areas to get involved in that you have, that I've given to you in the bulletin, some of you are involved in 10 to 15 areas that are serving the church and serving many times behind the scenes, long hours. And you're using the gifts in a variety of different ways. Yet others may come to church and not really get involved. And that's what I want to address today. I want to address the topic of serving. Why do we serve? Why should we serve? And it's important. Why is it important that we do so? How can we serve more effectively? And what are the blessings that come from serving? That's what I want to address in my message today. Why is it so important that we serve? According to Scripture, every Christian or everyone who has called themselves a Christian has been given at least one spiritual gift. Some of you have a number of spiritual gifts that you're using. And it says, we're given at least one gift to be used in service to the body of Christ. It says in 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks with the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Using our gifts is not optional for a Christian. We are commanded to serve. And in doing so, we bring praise to Jesus Christ. And we bring honor to God. So we see it as a command. In another illustration, maybe a number of you, we never used to in the past, but celebrate Christmas in a sense. And you know, at Christmas time, everybody puts the presents around the bottom of the tree. And it's always exciting, and the excitement builds as everybody sees their name, but they don't know what's in the presents. And And then Christmas Eve, oftentimes those presents are opened and the presents are used. In a particular way, many churches are like that tree on Christmas Eve. They shelter a number of beautifully wrapped, lovingly purchased presents that remain unmoved and still unwrapped. We believers have been wonderfully gifted by our Lord for service, yet many of us are content to nestle ourselves uselessly underneath the tree. Until we open and unwrap, use that gift, it's useless until we use the gifts that God has given us. In our job as the church leaders, our job is to help equip the saints and help each other to develop their gifts. That's the command that God gave me as a pastor and all, even teachers, evangelists. That's the job that God has given us. Notice in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, and the pastors and teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service. And why do we do that? So the body of Christ may be built up. So the church can be built up. It's not through powerful messages up here all the time. It's through every one of you using the gifts that you have. And God has given you all gifts to use. And it's those gifts that you have when you're using them that build up the body and make the body of Christ what it is. And he says, going on, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every word of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does the work. So, you know, as we use our gifts that God has given us, it's those gifts that build the body of Christ. And God has provided us as leaders in the church to help equip you. As believers, we all have a part to play in that process of building one another up. And there's many gifts that God gives his people. And I'm just going to run through them. God gives gifts of prophesying, of teaching, encouraging, of serving, of giving, of leading, extending mercy, of wisdom, of knowledge, of faith. Gifts of healing, performing of miracles, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and discernment. As I read those, pictures of some of you come into my mind. Because I see you using those gifts. And God has gifted us in that way. Our service in using our gifts should be wholehearted. When we serve in the church, we serve others. Christ said, when you have done this to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. In Ephesians 6:7, it admonishes us to serve wholeheartedly as if we are serving the Lord, not people. You know, here at church, we might be serving people, but in reality, we're serving God. And that's what Scripture says. Another reason every member should be serving in some way, and when we serve, it should be done humbly out of love. In Galatians 5:13, it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly in love." We've been called to serve one another in love. Romans 12:11 says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." That's an important part of our Christian walk. Another reason why we serve is there will always be more needs for willing workers. This was true in the days of Christ, and it is very true in our day today. As it says in Matthew 9:37, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.'" It's true in the church today. There's a lot of need out there, but it's hard to find people committed to work. You know, a popular business principle is called the 80-20 rule principle. Basically, it goes that typically 20% of the people do 80% of the work. There's a number of different applications. Some may say 20% of the people do 80% of the giving. 20% of the people do 80% of the outreach. You get my idea. I don't know about you, brethren, but I would like to be one of those 20%. I don't want to be one of those 80% that sits on the fence. And I think as individuals in the congregation, we should want to be part of those 20 that are very committed to sharing the gifts that God has given us. Remember, the commission that Christ gave us is great. We are to take His message to the world. And it can only be done with the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we use the gifts that God has given us. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." Our Jerusalem is here in the church. Our Jerusalem is in our communities, our neighborhoods that we live. "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we see another reason why we serve is the laborers are few. Another reason why we serve is, again, it's a command. If you look in the Bible and you study, it's a really good personal study to study the one another commands of the Bible. The one another commands of the Bible cannot truly be fulfilled by ourselves without being involved in the body of the church. God has provided the church, the body, for us to fulfill the one another commands. And I'll just skim through them here quickly. We need to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Build up one another. Be of the same mind as one another. Comfort one another in the face of death. Pray for one another. Be devoted to one another. Be at peace with one another. Encourage one another. Greet one another. Not be boastful and challenging one another. Be kind to one another. Bound in love for one another. Live in peace with one another. Love one another. Have fellowship with one another. Not judge one another. Take communion with one another. Accept one another. Regard one another as more important than yourself. Bear one another's burdens. Admonish and counsel one another. Serve one another. Do not lie to one another. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Care for one another. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Be hospitable toward one another. Not complain against one another. Show forbearance to one another. Give preference to one another. Not bite and devour one another. Seek the good of one another. And not forsake the assembling with one another. What a group of commands that God has given us. You cannot keep these commands and do these commands if you're not involved and using the gifts that God has given you. Like I said, He's given us all gifts. And the church, God has put every one of you in this body for a unique purpose. And He's placed you in this body because you have a gift in a certain area. And when you go about and you don't use that gift, the body hurts from it. Just like you remember how we are all parts of a body. If you are the eyes of the body and you keep your eyes closed, the body is not going to be very effective. Or if you are the ears of the body and you refuse to hear anything, the body is not going to be as effective. So God put us all here for a purpose, to work together. Rick Warren said, "The only way you can serve God is by serving one another." So another key reason why we serve is to fulfill the one another commands. Serving is also an opportunity for you and me to store up treasures in heaven. So that's another reason why to serve. It says in Matthew 6:19-21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The main point in this text is to warn people of the folly of working to accumulate worldly possessions. And that is a big problem in our society today. We live in a culture that is materially focused. It's all about me, myself, and the things I can accumulate. And we need to make sure those things aren't more important than the kingdom and serving God. As it says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve two masters. I love the next slide here. You know, when we try to serve two masters, as the slide says, it's very difficult to do. And sitting on the fence is not possible for very long, especially if you're sitting on that fence. So it would hurt after a while. The visionary who is serving God ceases to live for personal ambitions, but rather for God's ambitions. That was a quote from George Barna. A visionary who is serving God ceases to live for personal ambitions, but rather for God's ambitions. Jesus got to the heart of the matter, for what we seek to amass in this life is a clear indication of where our heart is. If our heart wants to serve and give and use the gifts God has given us, that's where our heart is. If our heart is too busy to serve and busy doing our own thing in our own world, that's where our heart is. In our culture, it's easy to be preoccupied with savings accounts, career goals, vacations, retirement, comfort, rest, recreation, among some of the things. These things can all become overly important when they shouldn't be that important. And don't get me wrong, these things aren't wrong in themselves, but they shouldn't take precedence over the gifts that God has given us in our service. As believers, we need to make sure serving our church is a priority in our lives. And that's not just the church. As servants, we do that in our homes. You know what makes a happy marriage is when a husband and wife serve each other without expecting the other or demanding the other to give equal service back. This is done in our families where we serve each other. And sometimes you serve your kids a long time before you might get anything back. But eventually they understand how much you cared and loved and served them. So the serving should be done not just here at church. It's in how we live our life. We serve in the body of Christ. Why? We are told to do so. Notice what it says in Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. And then it says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We should do good, and especially to one another here, the spiritual body that God has called us to be a part of. God created us. We are His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are created in Christ Jesus. How was Christ? What was Christ Jesus like? We serve because He served. Notice what it says in Mark 10:45. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. In Matthew 23:11, Christ, you know, people say, well, I want to be a great leader, I want to be this and that. Christ said, the greatest among you will be the one that serves. Well, greatest among you will be the servant. In Luke 22:26 to 27, we read, Christ says, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as him who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? But Jesus said, I am among you as one who serves. And then in John 13:15, he says, I've given you example that you should follow and to do just as I've done to you. And the next slide shows that a little more. You know, Christ, after He washed His disciples' feet, said, I'm serving you. Go and serve one another. John Haig said, the measure of a man's greatness is not the number of servants he has, but the number of people he serves. The measure of a man's greatness is not the number of servants he has, but rather the number of people he serves. That's a little bit backward from the world that we live in, isn't it? Another reason why we serve is to be an example. Unfortunately, our children tend to emulate what they see, not what they hear. When Jesus selected his apostles, he chose them to be with him. How significant. It's not trite. Ministry is more often caught than taught. Ministry is more often caught. You catch somebody doing something than being taught. Perhaps this principle is what motivated Luke to write, "Of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, teaching is more effective when doing is a part of the teacher's, of the teacher precedes it." You've heard that saying, "What you are cries out so loudly, I don't hear what you're saying." You know, if we are saying one thing and doing another, we're very ineffective. This is another man. It wasn't my son, but this is an illustration. When my eldest son got his driver's license a number of years ago, I found myself riding shotgun on occasion. Even though he likes to speed too, so. One day, as we were traveling along the highway, I noticed that he was committing two fatal flaws. He was not wearing a seatbelt, and he was driving 80 miles per hour. Appalling. Where did he learn to be so reckless? Certainly not from the driver's manual, and definitely not what I told him or preached to him. But oh yeah, then there was this nasty little thing called my example. You know, children learn from our example. When we tell children to do something, we better be living it ourselves. If we aren't, they're not hearing a word we say. What are our children learning about us, from us? Service to God enhances one's knowledge of God. And there's an old Chinese proverb that says, "Tell me and I'll forget. Show me and I may remember. Involve me and I will understand." When you get involved and you're doing and living and practicing what you preach, you will be definitely growing from it. For us to be growing as God wants us to, we must be involved in serving. Another story of a man who was working with a youth. Story of work done as a youth. One of my jobs as a teenager was to work at a local hospital. While there, I met many different types of workers. One young man named Vince was a particular hard worker in that he worked hard to avoid work. On one particular afternoon, I ran into Vince hiding by the loading dock. In his hand was a broom. Now, mind you, he wasn't using the broom. He was just holding it. Curious, I asked him, "Vince, why do you bring the broom with you to the loading dock?" To which he replied, "Oh, this, just in case the boss shows up." Maybe Vince has changed since those days, but at that point in his life, Vince focused on avoiding responsibility, only feigning work when the boss happened to be looking. His thinking betrayed his wrong view of the nature of work itself, and that is somehow a bad thing, and of the motivation to work that the taskmaster might show up. You know, for us, you and me as members of the congregation today, our boss is always watching. What we do with our time, and if we're doing it just to show, God sees everything. Our motivation is not out of duty or fear. He loves us and we love him. What we do is an inestimable value because he orders us to do it. He energizes us in it and he rewards us on top of that for doing it. So it is a blessing to serve. And you know, brethren, there's many more reasons why we can serve. I've only covered a few of them. Those are only a few that I've picked out. But I also wanted to share some of the wonderful blessings that come from serving. There's wonderful blessings that come when you use the gifts that God has given you. Number one, friendships and relationships. It is often through our serving that we build beautiful, long-lasting friendships and relationships. When you serve alongside somebody, you build a relationship. I can think personally of that. When I came to Vancouver area, I didn't know my wife that well, but both her and I were very involved in serving. And we grew to love each other, and we built a relationship that has lasted 30, 40 years. And it's a beautiful thing when you can serve together as a husband and wife. Adam and Eve served together in the garden. Look at what Paul wrote. Paul often talked fondly of those that he worked with in the church. Barnabas, Silas, Aquila, Priscilla. Paul often spoke very proudly and thankfully of the people that he had gotten to know and serve with. Secondly, serving allows us to discover and develop our own spiritual gifts. It's often the case we learn what our gifts are by volunteering in areas that we maybe never would. We may discover gifts that God has given us that we never knew we had. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, it compares the gifts to the human body. We're all different parts of this body, and God has given us all different gifts. He's given us all those gifts for the greater good of the body, so the body may be built up. A third area why a blessing that comes from serving is we can experience miracles. Remember the story in the Bible in John 2 where the wedding party was going on and the house ran out of wine. And to the Jewish culture, when you have all the people over and they ran out of wine, that would have been a great disgrace and a real embarrassment to the family too, because their wedding parties didn't go one day. I think they went 2, 3, 4 days a week. And they ran out of wine, you know, they didn't have enough wine for their guests. And what did Jesus do? I think it was his first miracle, or one of the first ones. He basically told the servants to get pitchers of water, fill them with water, and he turned the water into wine. Now, the guests of the house that were there at the party, they didn't know anything about it. All their mind is like, why did you save the best wine for last? That was a pretty good trick. But the servants who filled those jars with water, they witnessed a miracle that they would never forget. It's when we serve and are involved in serving that we experience the miracles that God is doing. And if you're not involved, sometimes you don't even see the miracles that are happening. But when you're serving, you do see the miracles. Serving also, another blessing, it helps us to be more like Jesus. We shift our focus off of ourselves onto other people through serving. And we begin to see others as Jesus sees other people. And as it says in Matthew 25:40, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whether you did it for one of these, the least of my brethren and sisters of mine, you have done it to me. So when we serve other people with a heart and with a passion and caring, we are serving Jesus Christ. And we don't see that person as a pain or another duty or responsibility to serve. We see Christ in them, and we see an opportunity, and we learn and we are blessed because we grow more like Christ. Whenever you serve others in any way, like I said, we are actually serving God. Another blessing and serving surrounds us with other Christians who can help us follow Jesus also. Like I said, when you're working side by side with other believers, a bond is formed. And that was not a coincidence. God designed his church to be like that. He wanted his church to be an area where people could come and find oneness and find support and find a spiritual family. That's why it says in Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as a habit of some in doing, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day approaching. We get together, we come together to serve. And unfortunately, in our culture today, we see the opposite trend where people, as they get busy and as things come up, they tend to leave church. They're actually hurting themselves in a big way. Serving also increases our faith. That's another blessing that comes from serving. As we move out of our comfort zones, God increases our faith by revealing new potential in ourselves and his church. We see what God can do with his power when we step out in faith. And sometimes we step out and we say, God help me, I don't know what I'm doing here. But when we do step out in faith and ask for his help, we need to also prepare for a miracle that may happen. Because God is not about just mediocrity. He's about doing wonderful things through all of you in your lives too. It says in Ephesians 3:20, Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is His work within us. Now God wants to do so much more than sometimes we believe we're capable of. Another blessing that comes from serving. Serving is also very good for the soul, our human body. We live in a culture today that is struggling with depression. Whatever there is, there's a lot of people hurting. Studies have shown that volunteering is so good for the body and mind that it eases symptoms of stress and depression. I believe that. You know, when you take your mind off of yourself and you go help someone else, your problems become insignificant. Tapping into our gifts and passions builds self-confidence, gives us energy and strength. Serving others can also be the best distraction for our own worries. Like I said, we all make all sorts of excuses, like we don't have time, we don't have the skills, you know, it's just me, I can't do it, but we need to not think that way. The reality is, God doesn't call the equipped. He doesn't call us because we have all these skills and abilities. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. God equips us to do works of service. He didn't call us because we had all the great abilities. Because many of the people that think they have all the great abilities don't have time for God or don't want to serve. God used men and women with similar doubts to change the course of history. Look at Moses, for example. God said, Moses, I want you to go and bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses almost laughed at God. You know, you've got to be kidding, God. Not me. I can't do it. I can't speak. I can't lead. And finally, God got fed up and he said, I'll give you Aaron to help you. But God used Moses, who felt very ill prepared, to walk into the Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the land, and say, I'm taking my people back. I mean, if you want a suicide mission, that was definitely a suicide mission. What about David? He was the youngest of his brothers. He was a scrawny kid. He was a scrawny kid that, okay, you're not going to make much of yourself, so you go watch the sheep and the cattle and goats or whatever. And David's brothers were the ones that went off to war. They were all the big, strong guys. They were the ones that went off to war. But yet God chose David to lead his people. And David wrote many wonderful psalms for all of us. He was described as a man after God's own heart. What about Saul or Paul? Paul was one of those individuals that went around killing Christians. And yet his life changed within about 3 days when he was struck down and he was totally blind. And God says, I want you. And Saul's life was turned upside down in a period of 3 days. God doesn't just want to work through you. He wants to work in you. He wants to work in your life. And as Rick Warren said, faithful servants never retire. We've got a few retired people here. But faithful servants never retire. We can retire from our career, but you can never retire from serving God. I know people in their 70s, 80s, 90s that have a heart of serving other people and have impacted lives so differently, so immensely in their lives that they've affected so many people. One of our greatest barriers in serving others is our own selfishness. Paul warned believers by saying, do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. The number one reason we don't have the time or the energy to serve others is we're preoccupied with our own agendas, our dreams, and our own pleasures. But remember what it said in the small group studies that we went through this year. If you insist on saving your life, you will lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. You know, when we give our time and our energy to serving others, our mind is not on ourselves. And finally, in all our service, there is a final key. Serve one another in love. Notice what it says in the Message Bible in 1 Corinthians 13:3. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but if I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. No matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love is critical in all our service. God is more interested in why we serve than in how well we serve. He's always looking at our heart. We need to follow Jesus Christ's example in doing as He laid down for us. And Amy Carmichael said, "You can always give without loving, but you can never love without giving." You can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. What if you're not sure where you should serve? Pray to God. Seek His guidance. Take the list of opportunities to Him in prayer, saying, "God, inspire me where I should go and where I should serve." Talk to those who are closest to you. It's oftentimes our spouses, our friends, that know us better than we do. And they know the gifts we have better than we ourselves knowing our own gifts. And the Holy Spirit will also direct you. Step out in faith. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:4-7, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit." Why? For the common good. For the good of the body of the church. Brethren, when it comes to serving, we need to remember the words of Helen Keller, who said, "Alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much." As individuals, we can do so little, but as a body, we can do so much when we serve together. For there's a synergy and a power when God's Spirit is working through a body together in unity and performing a work. As you see in Scripture, it's very clear of our admonition to serving. And it's not an option for Christians, as Christ set the example for us. And yet, I don't know about you, but over the years, I can probably count many times where I've heard people walk up and say, "Well, I'm just not getting anything out of this church. I'm not getting anything out of church." I don't know if any of you have ever heard that. I've heard that said. "I'm not getting anything out." But maybe they've been asking the wrong questions. John F. Kennedy said in a speech, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? Ask not what your church can do for you, but what are you doing for your church?" Church, an effective church, is a church where everyone, every individual, is using their gifts in a powerful way in areas where they are gifted. And some of you use your gifts in gifted areas, and some of you are using your gifts also in areas that aren't your gifted area, because there is a need. If you didn't do it, we wouldn't be able to do the things we do. We do thank you for that service. So I encourage all of you to look at the list. Like I said before, some of those lists, I have more in the lobby, so I encourage every person to fill one out. And whoever you are, don't do it as a husband and wife, but do one as individuals if you would like to get involved. Even if you're limited by health, there's still opportunities on there where you can serve. We will be we're looking at possibly starting a prayer group that meets at 9:30 to 10 on Saturday mornings. There's an opportunity there. Maybe you don't have the health, but you can still pray. There's many different opportunities we can serve. So check off those areas. And as many as you would like to check off, you're welcome. Whether you're a senior, teen, young adult, single, child, married with children, a widow, everyone can serve. Some of the areas that are on the list will start fairly soon. It's going to probably take a few months to sort of shift over to some of those. Some of them are going to be in the fall. We're planning to redo our website starting in the fall, and that's when the groups will kick off again. Some will begin only if we have enough people involved. One of the biggest blessings of this congregation and what we're known for is our hospitality and food. But it takes people that are willing to get the food prepared every Saturday morning. And it takes people that stay after and put it all away and clean up. If we don't have the people, we won't be able to have those things. So these are all what excellent areas where you can make a difference in the lives of the church. Some areas of serving are critical to our functioning, some are not. First three on the list are something that you don't know anything about yet. But one of the things we're trying to do as a denomination is to be more community outreach focused. We want to be a church that is known in our community, a church that can help our community in areas that right now we don't even know exist. But that's one of the reasons why we started the new outreach community team. Because we want to research areas where we can more effectively make a difference in the lives of the community of the church that we are around, the church we're here, that around this area. So those first three are going to be areas that will develop over the next probably 6 months as our group starts meeting and we come up with ideas how we can be more effective. Those things aren't, you don't know what they are yet, the first three on there. So if you have any questions about any of those areas and you want more information, please see myself or my wife and we could explain it in more detail. But the key, brethren, in all this, I encourage you all to step out in faith and try new things. And one thing is sure, I can guarantee you, don't be surprised of what God can do through you, because oftentimes we are shocked as to, I did this, but really it wasn't you doing it. It was the Holy Spirit through us that does wonderful work. So again, don't be surprised at what God can do through this motley crew, this church. Because God loves every one of you and He's working through every one of you in His own way. So anyway, we'll close in prayer. Our Father, we come before you now. We thank you for a meeting together here. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for calling us to a body, a family. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you, Father, for giving us gifts to serve. Help us to be your instruments, be your vessels that you can do a work through, and do a powerful work through each of us as individuals and us as a body, so that we can make a difference in the lives of other people. Father, you've called us to serve, you've called us to love, you've called us to give, and help us to do that with all our hearts. Thank you for the blessings you give us now, and for all the things you've done for us, and we ask for your blessing on the food we're about to partake of, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.